2 years ago, a French couple visited the White Sands National Monument just as a pass-by on their vacation here in the United States. They took with them their nine-year-old boy. And though the park, the National Monument there, recommends that you not take a hike in the middle of the day, they got out of their car and during the hottest part of the day in there near Alamogordo, New Mexico, began to take a hike. As later reported, they didn't take enough water with them, and they got so far down the hike, and the lady, her name was Ornelia, she began to feel sick and ill, and so she turned around and went to go back toward the car to get some relief from the heat that day. And her husband, David, and son continued to trudge on through the white desert, the gypsum desert. The temperatures that day soared to about 101, as the record shows. And he too, David, succumbed to the heat and fell to the ground. Ornelia, on her way back to the car, she didn't make it. She fell down along the trail, and later park rangers found both of their bodies. But amazingly, the nine-year-old was able to survive. They got him medical treatment, and he's alive today living with his grandmother. The sheriff on scene or conducting the investigation had this to say. He said, "I don't think they were prepared for the heat. I think they just thought it was a trail and they would walk it. They started out together and the mother had gotten ill and wasn't very far before she went down. And then farther up the trail, the father went down. It's just a tragedy," he said. What started out as a pleasure trip turned into a grave tragedy. And you know, that's the way it is with sin. Up front, it promises to be a pleasure trip. But when any of us go down the path of sin, it ultimately ends up being a tragedy of some kind. You might be feeling today that after all that I've said, and even some of the suggestions that I've given about from the scripture about how to combat sin, you might be really feeling a little bit hopeless or helpless. Like Paul even said in Romans chapter 7, "Who will deliver me from the body of this death? I just want out of this struggle with my flesh." Well, today I want to tell you that the tragedy of sin is not the end of the story for a Christian. I want to suggest to you that there is hope and there is victory on the other side. And when you follow God, eventually, because you belong to God, you will be in the winner's circle. So this message is about hope. This message is about your future. This message is about what God wants to do in your life to give you victory. You don't have to be an up and down fluctuating Christian. If you'll grab a hold of the things we're talking about today, you can really enjoy Christianity, the Christian life, day in and day out, every single day. All right? So how do we go about doing that? Well, we have reason for optimism because of what we find here in the book of Jude. Jude, verse 24. And the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." You know what James or Jude is saying? You will get all the way from earth to glory. You will get safely home. You will win the battle within. And this is why I am so sure. Because God is on your side, one day you will finish on the victory side. That's the point of the message today. Because God is on your side, one day you will finish on the victory side. So how do we go about finding that victory or claiming it as our own? The moment Jesus saved you, forces went into operation to guarantee your success, to guarantee that you would one day be on the victory side of sin. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, "Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." God has too much invested in you. He has the blood of His own Son invested in you to let you become a wreck along the roadway of life. He is working on you, and yes, there are some rough terrain at times, treacherous highway that you have to go through. Eventually, you will prevail because you belong to Him. And since God is on your side, you will eventually end up on the victory side. So I want to talk to you about why we can be so optimistic, even though day in and day out we struggle, we lose our temper, we have issues with pride, we have issues with worrying, bad attitudes, and whatever your particular struggle is, greed, lust, all of those things we struggle with, but we can have the assurance from the Lord of victory. And the Bible says in Jude, "Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling." So I'm going to break this verse. It really has two parts, and I want to give you the hope that's found here. The first aspect of hope is this, that God's ability to keep you from falling. God's ability to keep you from falling. The word keep in our text is a word that means to guard or to have safe custody. The idea of the scripture here is that you have a security guard, somebody watching over you so that there's no way that you can fall down. There is no way that you can be utterly lost. You will not suffer a catastrophic stumble from which you will not recover. Because God has you, He will keep you, guard you. It's like God's got you under 24-hour surveillance. He's a great security guard. You are never outside of His sight. We like security guards because they keep us safe from intruders or people that might show up unwanted or unannounced. And this is the nuance of the word guard. The guard here suggests that it's keeping you from outside attack, from those who would try to trip you up or cause you to make a mistake. So God is saying, I have you under guard and there's no way you're going under. We see this in a couple of verses. Do I have Psalm 121 on the screen? Is that coming up? Thank you. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And then Psalm 139, in verse number 5, also about the Lord says, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Now here's the point that these verses and our text are suggesting. It's saying not that you won't ever stumble, not that you won't ever face temptation and give in to it, but that you will not suffer a catastrophic failure. You won't have what some churches teach, a fall from grace. Once you belong to Jesus Christ, you are safe for now, for time, and for eternity. God has the ability to keep you from falling. In other words, if you belong to God, you will not suffer catastrophic failure. You will not fall from grace. Nope, nada can't happen. God keeps all His sheep so that not one of them is ever lost. I don't know if you've ever gone to someone else for counsel with a spiritual need. I have. And that's because I have lots of spiritual needs. All right? As a teenager, I began to be aware of a whole new world of temptation through all those changes that come along as a youngster and all those new desires. And so I was beginning to have struggles in those areas, and I wasn't having much success. But I was hearing preaching all the time, like you hear here, from my chapel preachers in my church telling me about purity and integrity and walking with the Lord. And I thought, man, I still haven't figured this thing out yet. So I went and I looked around for a godly mentor or someone to help me. And I settled on a Christian school teacher. I happened to be in a Christian private school at that time. And so I asked to talk to him. And we took a little hike out into a neat little place to sit and visit a little while. And so I just shared a little of my heart, my struggle. And so he began to give me some scriptural advice. And that wasn't the first time we met. We met a few other times. And he helped me discipled me a little bit in that area and gave me some scriptures. Very helpful. Incidentally, this is just for free in the message, all right? It's not in my notes. So if you're really struggling with an area, I remember telling myself, you know, I'm a Christian. I should be able to figure this out on my own. You know, I'm a big enough Christian. I'm a big enough boy. I can get this figured out. And there are times when God has blessed senior saints or older Christians with a little more wisdom about walking the Christian life. And you're really really poor if you don't take advantage of that. So if you're struggling, I hope you'll reach out to an older Christian in this church or to myself or my wife. We don't have all the answers, but we've been down the road a little while. We fought the battle a little while, and we might be able to give you a little bit of help like this man did. Well, to me, the real neat thing about this seeking counsel thing, I think that's the next screen. Let's bring that up. All right, so the neat thing, as we chatted, and I had several sessions with him, but one of the things that he said to me I think is most important right here. He said this, and the words are going to come up on the screen. When it comes to temptation, you will face many battles. Some you will win and some you will lose. But remember this, no war is ever won with a single battle. There are multiple battles. And this was a comfort to me as I thought, you know, I'm going to struggle. I'm going to win some. I'm going to lose some. But that's okay. I already know the outcome of the war. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be on the victory side. Because God is on your side, you will finish on the victory side. God has the ability to keep you from falling. What a wonderful thought. Now, I don't know what your particular struggle is, but God is able to keep you from tripping up and utterly being a failure and falling away from the Christian faith. But you know, you all know people that used to be in church. Well, maybe not all of you, but some of you. They used to sit right where you do. They used to sing the songs. They don't go to church anymore. They're done with God. And their life is not a very good testimony for the Lord at all. He's not in a part of their life. And somewhere along the line, they lost a battle or they lost a series of battles and they gave up the fight. And I'm here today to encourage you, don't give up the fight. God is able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you from stumbling and utterly losing the faith. So hang on to God in your battle. You might lose one, but don't give up the war. Hey, you already know the captain of your salvation is going to lead you in triumph when he returns on a white horse and he says, whose name is Faithful and True. Revelation 19, verse 11. So hang in the fight. And don't give up your battle against sin. Arizona boasts one of the most visited national parks in the whole country. Last year, 5.9 million people visited the Grand Canyon. Don't you wish some of that revenue would come down in here to Tucson? Grand Canyon's at the wrong end of our state. Anyway, does anyone know the most visited national park in the United States? Anyone? You're all wrong. It's the Great Smokies. Great Smokies, Tennessee. Yep, most visited. All right. Anyway.
That was free, too.
That was free, yeah. There's a lot of stuff I learned I can't share in a message, but every now and again you get freebies. All right. Hey, there are wonderful ways to explore the Grand Canyon, and I bet many of you have had the opportunity to do that. Maybe you've taken a hike. Maybe you've done shuttle service around and looked at the different vantage points from the South Rim. Maybe some of you have had the opportunity to go to the North Rim. Maybe some of you have hiked down into the valley, down to the river or something camp down there and back up out. Maybe some of you have actually... Anybody got to do the river? Judy has, all right, down through the... There's wonderful ways to explore the canyon. One of the oldest ways is to take a mule ride. Anybody taking a mule ride here? All right, Judy's she's on. Hey,
I love the Grand Canyon.
All right, that's nothing wrong with that. If you want to take a mule ride, you're going to have to book it about 12, 13 months in advance. It fills up. Everybody wants to do this, but this is one of the ways to enjoy the scenery of the Grand Canyon. And one of the reasons that they... mules are some of the surest footed animals on planet Earth. And you know, I haven't done this, but if I were to go on a trail down the edge of the Grand Canyon, I'd want to be on the back of a mule, somebody that's not going to lose its footing. Mules are more sure footed than a horse is, so I hear. So I want you to imagine with me that you've booked this trip, that you're going to take a mule ride right down into the Grand Canyon. You've never been down in and someone's talked you into it. So you get signed up. And you eventually, it's your day. You've waited the period of months. You show up. You're so excited. You pull up to the area. You park your car. You go in. And you give your name. And someone's scrambling through a register, they can't find your name, and you're like, here's my reservation. And eventually they figure it out. They have actually booked you. You correctly booked it, but they actually put your name down for a month, the same date a month later. You're 30 days ahead of schedule. And you're like, groan. How am I going to get off? This is not going to work. And then Betsy, she's kind of magnanimous. She's helping you out. And Betsy says, well, wait a second. Let me give a call down to the stables and see if we can bring up another mule and give you a trail ride today. And so Betsy gets on the phone and she goes, Jake, Betsy here. Yeah. Bring up old Stumblefoot. We've got another rider today. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm taking a trip into the Grand Canyon, I do not want to be back on the back of a mule whose nickname is Old Stumblefoot. That does not give me peace of mind. It wouldn't give you any peace of mind either. But the idea behind this word from falling is not falling, and it has the idea of being a sure-footed horse. And this is what God is saying. I'm going to navigate you through life so that you can go safely through life's course without falling and suffering a catastrophic loss. It is not going to happen to you. God is not going to put you on the back of Old Stumblefoot. Well, you know, most Christians could get through this life, but Adrian, I mean, you're just condemned just to just be a mess. All right? God isn't going to do that. He has the ability to keep you in whatever your struggle is from falling. You're not going to end up on the back of Old Stumblefoot. You have a sure-footed God who'll place your feet where they need to be so that you... Hey, you might have to navigate into a chasm every now and again. You might go into a dark valley of your life every now and again. But since there is a God in heaven and you belong to Him by faith in Jesus Christ, you are coming back up out of that canyon and you are going to ride that mule all the way to the rim again. This is the promise of Scripture. God is going, He has the ability, is so strong that He can take care of you. No wonder Jude is able to say in verse number 24 about God that His power and dominion, let me look at the words again, our only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, authority, power, rule. He has the ability to keep you from falling and being lost forever. Christian friend, you might be struggling today with anger, anxiety, arrogance, or some other sin. It may seem debilitating. The outcome may to you seem uncertain. But all the way from earth to glory, God keeps you from falling. You are not a helpless victim of chance and circumstance. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is follow. Psalm 37 and verse 24 says these helpful words, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Hey, there might be some deep chasms, but you're coming out. God is on your side, and one day you will finish on the victory side. Boy, if this were all there is in this verse, isn't that just a wonderful truth to feed your soul? God will keep me from falling. But that's only half the verse. All right? The verse goes on to say, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. So let's talk, number two, about God's plan to present you faultless. God's plan to present you faultless. God is going to set you up. The word present here is the idea of set you or stand you. It's almost a little irony here. I don't know if Jude is intending it, but he won't let you fall down. He'll keep you standing so that you can stand. The idea of stand is in both. You will stand. You won't fall. You'll stand in the first part of the verse. And you will stand faultless in the presence of the Lord. Great encouragement. I didn't know this when we picked the songs this week, how this would line up. But our first song today was Stand Up. Stand up for Jesus. There's a stand theme in this verse. And you will stand faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. So let's talk about a faultless presentation. In fact, I just get the word presentation from being present, present you faultless. We will be presented before the Lord as faultless in His sight. You know, I want to say for those of you who may be outside the Christian faith today, that this really is what Christianity is about. Now, there are people today who will tell us that, you know, all faiths are pretty much the same. They all teach love your neighbor, be good to people, be kind. And Jesus did teach those things, but that is not the peak for which we reach. Christians are reaching for the promise and the hope, not of having a better life now because we know how to get along with people, though that's helpful. God is helpful to tell us how to get along with other people, right? Yeah, absolutely. But the ultimate peak for which a Christian reaches is to be in the presence of God and know that we belong there. That is a big difference between Christianity and Islam and Buddhism and Ekankar and all the other Middle Eastern faiths and religions that are New Age and what have you going around the earth. We believe that because Jesus lived and then died and rose again, we will be faultless in His presence one day. That separates us, what the Christian church teaches, from all other faith systems in the world. We're hanging on to a faultless presentation before the Lord. The word faultless literally means to be without blemish. That doesn't really say a whole lot to us today because we're not Jews. But in the Old Testament, Jews depended on sheep a great deal. And not just sheep, but oxen and other things that they would bring as an animal sacrifice to the tabernacle and later the temple. And they would offer their beasts on the altar as a temporary covering for sin. So the sheep were slain, and God had some criteria about what kind of sheep He would accept at the temple. You couldn't bring a sheep that was scarred or marred or deformed or was a runt. No exceptions, they would not be accepted. God wanted your best. He wanted the best. So we have a hard time with sheep, all right? We have a hard time with sheep. But I'm going to use another example, and I don't know how to flick this around, but I need the diamonds up now. There you go. But we know a little bit about diamonds, all right? Most of the ladies in this room, if they've been married or spoken for, have a diamond somewhere on their finger. And I know a little bit about diamonds because I shopped for them once. Well, maybe twice. But but diamonds suffer because they are formed under intense pressure, coal pressed into the diamond. It is common for them to have some birthmarks of the coal left behind. We call them imperfections, or the technical word for them, if they're inside the diamond. And you can see an example of one here in the picture. This little dark spot is an inclusion. All right? If the inclusion or the imperfection is on the outside or the surface of the diamond, we call it a blemish. Now, nobody wants blemishes or inclusions in their diamonds because they don't shine as well that way. Fewer inclusion, brighter, more brilliant the diamond. Guys, you listen to this? Scott, Danny, pay attention. A little lesson on diamonds here, all right? Fewer blemishes, more brilliant the diamond. And I want to say to you one day when we get into the presence of God, we're going to be an unblemished, faultless diamond. And we will shine brilliantly because of what God has made us through Jesus Christ. So God has a plan to present me faultless before His presence. How awesome is that? To be in the presence of God and to be considered that valuable, that precious, that without spot. It's incredible to me to think that God made a way through His grace for that to be true of me. But friend, I want to ask you today, is that your destiny? Do you already know that God has singled you out as one of His diamonds to present faultless before His throne? Just because you come to church and or pray to prayer or know the name of God and Jesus doesn't mean that you're in. Too many people go through life uncertain of really what their final home would be. And the Bible is clear what it will be. Let's bring up that verse now. Where is it? Next. There it is. These things have I written unto you, John says, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Do you know that you belong to God, that you have the eternal life? Jesus is the only one who can offer it. He offers it freely, but you have to receive it. Only He can get you ready to shine in the presence of God forever. What's a faultless presentation? The Scripture also goes on to say, with exceeding joy. So we want to go to a joyful presentation. This is a heaven word. In thy presence, Psalm says, Psalm 16, verse 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. There is exceeding joy to be in the presence of God. And one day that's our destiny because we belong to Jesus Christ. No, not many have the audacity to say that they are going to be accepted in the presence of God. But Christians do. Christians have that audacity because of something we call forgiveness. Because there was a Calvary. Because the blood of Christ was shed. We have the audacity to say, I will not be in fear and trembling before the Lord one day. But I will be at peace and full of joy because I'll be welcomed there on the basis of Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered what it was going to be like your first few minutes in heaven? Ever wondered who you're going to see, what's going to happen? I just want you to think of maybe it'll be like this, all right? I don't know because the Bible doesn't say, but maybe. Father, this is Jesus speaking, conversation. Jesus, Father, good news. Mike from Tucson made it today. I just had to bring him by to see you. Father responds, Mike, so pleased to see you. My son has told me so much about you. Me, barely able to choke the words out. This is really it. I'm here. I can't believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, Mike's a believer, and I'm happy to report that he's passed the heaven test. Not a speck of sin in him. Father, to me, says, Mike, heaven is before you. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I don't deserve that, for God to talk to me that way. But this is what the Bible is painting is the future for the people of God. Matthew chapter 25, the faithful servant says, enter into the joy of the Lord. Every one of the parables in Luke chapter 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, every one of them end with what? There was joy in the house over the one sheep that was found or the coin that was lost and found and the son that came home. Let's have a party. I'm going to rejoice and there is going to be joy in heaven for the people of God. And hey, yeah, I might struggle along the way and there might be a battle and I might trip up and fall down, but I'm not going to be utterly cast down because the Lord's got me by my hand and I'm going to end up on the victory side. And when I get there, I'm going to be like a faultless diamond in His presence, shining and radiating with joy. How can that be? Because there's a God who loves me and loves you and has made it possible for all of us to experience exactly what I'm sharing with you today. This could be your experience. Now unto Him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. Oh, that day. Oh, that will be glory. Be glory for me. Someone is sitting here. And they have an engineer-like mind. And they're thinking to themselves, okay, if this is true, and my future with God in heaven is certain, what's the point of fighting my impulses and battling sin today? Might as well just, I shouldn't willfully sin, but if it happens, okay. Because, it's all going to be okay. In that future day. And that's the way some people think about this. Especially outsiders to the Christian faith. You say, you guys down there, you teach, you can believe and live however you want to live. And maybe you think that way. Well, you know, if God's able to keep me from falling and I won't be utterly lost and I'm going to be faultless in his presence with exceeding joy, then, man, I can just live however I want. This is license for the Christian. All right? Let's go. Let's be free. Let's just let what happens happen. How do I say it? Why does it matter how I live today? Is this what the Bible teaches? If a Christian can live with reckless abandon, is that really possible? Here's what the Scripture's answer to this is. Romans 6:2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So I'm going to give you an illustration I think will be somewhat helpful. And I'm glad Randy's here because this is just for him.
Heaven's knows he needs it.
Let's suppose that a baseball team, this is September, playoffs and World Series are right around the corner. All right, let's suppose that a baseball team is told today that they're going to win the World Series pennant. It's already decided, it's in the books, it's a done deal. The Kansas City Royals are going to win the pennant this year. See, Randy, I told you it was for you. Does the team at that point, let's say it's a done deal. I mean, we know that it isn't, but hypothetically, it's a done deal. Does the team say at that point, well, since the pennant is ours this year, there really isn't any more need to win another ball game. Let's just sit back and wait for October to collect the pennant. Maybe you can't relate to baseball, but maybe you can relate to golf or basketball or football or some other sport. Is the pennant all that matters? No, most teams want to finish strong and have as many wins in the win column as possible because the record matters. Now, I want you to apply this to your Christian life. It is true that you're going to be in the victory celebration. You will carry the pennant in the parade in heaven one day because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. But I want to say to you, the record still matters. How you battle along in your life and how many wins you put in the win column still matter and ought to matter to you. And I believe they would if you're a genuine believer. If you know what's coming, then you want to record as many wins as possible before you come across the threshold of heaven. Hey, because God is on your side, you and I will finish on the victory side. Now, Christians ought to take great comfort. You're going to struggle, you might fumble, you might stumble, but in the end, you'll be victorious because God has decided you will win the battle within. Let's bring up that little slogan, right? And let's go to the next screen. Conclusion. Stumble, yes. This might happen. But lose the battle, no way. I'll finish by telling you about a person who's lived this out in his life. He broke into the country music scene at a young age, met with success, and then sadly he got tangled up with drugs and alcohol. Most of you know the name. His name is Johnny Cash. But he married June Carter, and she and the Carter family determined to tough love Johnny Cash off of those substances. Johnny really is one of the more messy Christian stories. According to a nephew, Johnny found Christ as his Savior in the mid-1960s. And it was a big enough event that he came home and told his mother about it. Clearly, at that point, he understood what it meant to follow Jesus. But they say old habits die hard. And Johnny continued to struggle with substance abuse for years. In the early 1970s, Johnny became friends with Billy Graham and even participated in a Billy Graham crusade event, which is pictured here. From the stage at a 1989 crusade in his home state of Arkansas, Johnny said these words: "My personal life, my personal problems has been widely publicized. There have been things said about me that made people ask, is Johnny Cash really a Christian? I take great comfort in the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, what I will to do, I do not practice. But what I hate, I do. It is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. But who will deliver me from the body of this death? It is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Johnny, quoting the book of Romans and Paul's words in Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, summed it up rightly. Yeah, I may stumble and fall. I do the things I hate to do, but I won't always be in the body of this death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, I have victory. So every true Christian is going to take a victory lap in heaven one day, and will probably make that victory lap with other folk, just like Johnny. Because we will win the battle with sin. Let's pause for prayer. Father, thank you.